All right, if you would, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We have for the last few weeks been reading out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I've touched on a number of topics out of the verses that we're going to read. And a few weeks ago we touched on this, and I'll explain that as we get into it. But in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, Paul writing to the Corinthians says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." These verses are loaded with goodness, healthy stuff. We've covered these things for the past few weeks, and so I want to continue to do so, particularly in verse 17. Look in verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So I want to talk to you about the new creature. Now, you say, well, a few weeks back, I remember you preaching on the new creature. Yes, I did. But what I preached on is what God did to make the new creature. Because the word creature literally means, in the Greek definition of it, is creation. New creation. We're a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Well, I don't want to talk this morning once again about what God did to make the new creature. I want to talk to you about the responsibility of the new creature. The responsibility. What are we to do as far as being a new creature in Christ? What is our responsibility? We do have responsibilities as Christians. What are our responsibilities? Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Our responsibilities as new creatures. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there's a lot of problems there at Corinth, and Paul addresses them through his writings there to them. And really, 1 Corinthians is a book of rebuke. I mean, he puts the hammer down on these people, and deservingly so. But let's look at a problem that existed there. And keep in the context of the responsibility of the new creature. Verse 1 in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I had fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one say, I am Paul, another I am Apollos, are you not carnal?" And we'll just hold up there. We want to talk about the responsibility of being a new creature. And so one of the things that we are held responsible to is learning. Learning the Word of God. Paul told Timothy the will of God is that all men be saved and to what? Come to the knowledge of the truth. So there's a learning aspect of responsibility for the new creature. And learning is a good thing. You see, these Corinthians, and it's amazing, you know, the Bible's not this deep, dark book that God wrote where man will never be able to grasp it. It's not like that. It's spiritually discerned. You have to have the Spirit of God in you. And so consequently, having that, you can have an understanding of the Word of God. But the Bible is very simple. Paul said, "I fed you with milk and you weren't able to handle it. You're babes in Christ." He wanted them to be mature. He wanted them to grow up. Now just think of the illustration. Babies have got to be cared for. They've got to be watched after. You know, you can't leave the baby in the car when you go in the store, as some people sometimes do. You know, you got to, where's the child? Who's watching the child? You got to feed them. You got to nurture them. You got to train them up. Teach them. I mean, all of these things involved as far as a baby is concerned. But when you grow up, the things of the baby years should be left behind because you've learned. Well, that didn't hold true with these Corinthians. As the responsibility that they had as new creatures, they should have grown in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. They should have grown into the fullness of men, the fullness of the work staff that needed to take care of the ministry that God has given them, and they didn't. And so Paul is rebuking them for still being babes in Christ. A responsibility that we have is what? To grow up. Grow up. And you know, folks, it's very frustrating, particularly from a pastor standpoint, so I can fully understand Paul's frustration when he writes this here, that there are those that have sat out there and listened to him preach and have his writings, and they still act juvenile or as babes in Christ. And he expects them, and God does too, for them to progress beyond that state. And they didn't. So he says, I fed you with milk, and you weren't. I mean, I fed you with milk because you couldn't handle the meat. They're in a baby state. Our responsibility is to grow in knowledge and wisdom. That's what Paul told the Ephesians, that you walk in wisdom. Walk in this understanding of the knowledge of Christ, not as a baby. You know, as a baby, they're cared for. But when you grow up, you go to work. That's simple progression of this world. It's nothing new. America didn't form it. It's always been that way. You go up, you get nurtured by the parents, you get taught, you grow, and then you go out into the workforce and be productive. That's elementary, right? Same thing involved in the new creature responsibility. You get saved, you're a babe in Christ, but you get nurtured up. You get brought up. Ultimately, you go to a point of being that baby to a mature person that now can work and doesn't have to have somebody babysitting somebody who's, you know, 6'2", 200 pounds and still in the crib. And sometimes it's like that. You know, I appreciate it when people tell me, well, I just want to learn the Word of God rightly divided. Well, that's good. That's good. Good step. Good first step. There are worse first steps you can take than that. That's a good first step. But once you do that, you need to grow beyond that point and consequently mature. Handle the meat. Handle the workforce that's going to be thrown in your way for the Lord's sake. See, folks, this church is a collective group. It is equivalent to a union, a club that meets together, that has a like faith, a same belief. And from this locale, at this physical address, we work out from it. Yeah, we go home to our homes, but this is our home base where we work together. It's interesting to note what Paul wrote about this. Look in Ephesians chapter 2, the responsibility of a new creature. Look in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, look in verse 10. Ephesians 2, verse 10. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, we are as babes to grow up in the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. You see, the statement of, all I want to do is learn the Word of God rightly divided, that's good. You learn. That's 50% of the whole process of responsibility is learning. The next step is growing up to do the works that you were created in Christ Jesus to walk in, to do. We've got work that needs to be done here all the time. Sometimes it's as little as picking up after church a cup or a piece of paper. Sometimes it's more detailed in preaching and teaching the Word of God. But there are all aspects of work that need to be taken care of here. That's the other 50%. That's where your maturity comes. That's where your learning comes. Because I can tell you, folks, we've had people that have stayed in that immature state. And when you do that, it's all about yourself. I've noticed that. when you stay in that immature state, that baby state of 1 Corinthians, it's all about yourself. I mean, if a baby gets hungry, an infant, what do? They don't get in the kitchen and fix their food, do they? They cry. When they soil their diapers, what do? They cry. Somebody's got to change them. Somebody is constantly watching and taking care of them. Well, you grow out of that. But what I've seen is there are those that don't grow out of that position. So constantly, what are they doing? Crying. Instead of growing up, they're crying. And so it becomes all about me. How do I feel? Am I done right? Am I treated right? Is it said right? And when it's not, I cry. 50% is about learning. That's our responsibility. 50% of responsibility is to learn. We have a godly responsibility to learn this book. This is our manual. This is what we go by. But the other 50% is to take that which we have learned and incorporate it into our lives and bring it out to people, whether it's fellow saints or the lost world that needs it. One or the other. That's our other 50%. So it doesn't do any good to walk around knowing a lot of stuff about the Bible if we don't know how to work amongst ourselves. You're in Ephesians, go to chapter 4. Look in chapter 4 what Paul writes here. It's interesting to note here in chapter 4, look in we'll just start in verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word endeavoring is interesting because it means to make an effort, to labor. He's saying, make an effort, labor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. God already supplied us as being unified in the Spirit. So what do we have to do from there? We have to labor, make an effort to keep it in the bond of peace. We've got to work together to keep it. Children don't work together to keep any kind of unity in the house. For those of you that've had kids, you know about that. Amen. That was an opportunity for some of you, and you didn't bite on it. So take it someone may have heard you, and you just held back. So nonetheless, that is a situation that you have, is that there are those that don't grow to a point to putting forth the effort, the labor. Labor's work. You see, the responsibility is to grow up and do those good works as mature Christians in Christ Jesus, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, folks, everybody in here knows that verse. We just read it, chapter 4, verse 3 of Ephesians. You know the verse. But who's going to perform it? You see, you got that 50%. You learn the verse. The other 50% is carrying it out. It works in the Philippians. Turn one book over. Look in Philippians chapter 1. Verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. He says in verse 27, kind of the middle of the verse, striving together. Towards the end of the verse, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. Now, I really enjoy the definition on the word striving. It means to seek jointly. The implication is there are two or more. Striving together, seeking jointly. It's like a relay race, a four-man relay race. One guy may have the first leg. He's not going to cross the finish line. It's the fourth guy in the relay that's going to cross the finish line. But let me tell you, him, the fourth guy crossing that finish line and crossing it first, is very contingent on what the first guy did. Therefore, all four men, in order to win the prize, has got to strive together to win the prize. We are a collective group, and Paul says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together. Not only that, the other definition of the word striving is interesting. It says to wrestle in company with. Anybody know who we're wrestling with today? Come on. The devil. Paul says we wrestle not with against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness that works in high places. We're wrestling with the devil. Therefore, when Paul says striving together, he says that you wrestle against the devil together. Well, folks, children can be deceived by the devil. And if you don't mature, the devil will deceive you. The devil will trick you into believing that, oh, it'd be better than me put up with so-and-so at church, so I'm leaving. That's what he wants you to see. And people who remain children will buy into that deception. And by the way, if you buy into it and you know Philippians 1:27, you know the verse, then how can you do the other 50% of responsibility? Come on, stay with me. 50% learning. Other 50% doing. If you know the 50% at the front end, the learning of Philippians 1:27, and you are staying with all that knowledge but a babe in Christ, and you get your feathers in a ruffle here and you leave, then how are you carrying out the other 50% of Philippians 1:27 striving together for the faith of the gospel? You can't do it. So I appreciate those that just love the Word of God rightly divided. But I appreciate those that love it and do it and stand and strive together for the faith of the gospel. You know, Paul addressed the Colossians. We won't turn there, but he addresses two groups at Colossae, to the saints and the faithful. They're all members of the body of Christ, but there's a group within that Colossae group that are called faithful. They're there at all times. You know why? They're striving together. They're endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's a work, effort, work. Running the route all the years that I ran it, particularly the store and machine route Aaron and Megan are running now. And I told them this, that, you know, you learn little things when you're out at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. First of all, the friendliest of folks are not out at that morning, so you kind of learn to watch your back, as they say it. And for instance, if you drive up to a store that you're leaving papers at, and your papers are at the side door of your truck, your van, you pull up to that store, and there's most stores have a huge glass front to them. Well, I learned a long time ago that as you pull up to that thing, you can look into that glass store front there, and you can see your reflection in it. And not only your reflection, you can see behind you. It almost acts as a mirror. So while you're getting your stuff, you got gas pumps back here, you're here and the store's there, you'll get people pull up to gas pumps and walk to the store and you kind of want to keep an eye on them. Well, you learn a little trick of watching that glass to watch yourself. It's all about protecting yourself, you see, looking after yourself, making sure you are safe is what it amounts to. And if you see them going off course, like, why are they going to walk behind me when I'm over here and the front doors are here? Flags go up. You know, I mean, you just do those type things. On the other hand, you can look into that glass and look through it beyond the reflection. And you can see if the clerk's in there. You can see if there's customers in there. You can see if the store's open or closed. You can see sometimes they're in the cooler stocking, or sometimes they're in the back sleeping, whatever. But you can look past the glass, look past the reflection, and look inside the store. I find that Christian life is a lot like that. I find there are a lot of Christians that are always looking in the glass to protect themselves, looking after themselves, making sure I'm safe, making sure I'm taken care of, making sure nothing bad happens to me in the church. You know, I don't want someone saying something bad about me. I get my feelings hurt, I'll leave. Someone doesn't do something or doesn't acknowledge what I've done, it's all about me. That's what I was parked there for, looking in that glass. It's all about me, protecting. And people in churches today, around, it's all about us. But thank God we've got those that look beyond the image in the glass and look through the glass. Because behind the glass is the Lord. Think about it. It's the Lord. Do you ever look beyond your image to the Lord? Do you get beyond the image of yourself and look to the Lord and His well-being? Let's forget about ourselves. We sing that, don't we? But are we always looking in the glass to make sure we're protected? Well, that's good to a degree. But does our vision carry us beyond that point? A child, a new creature that remains a child, always looks after themselves. And it's all about me. It's all about getting my feelings hurt or protecting myself. You know, thank God we've got some folks in this church, and I'm not lifting them up above anybody else, but we got some long-timers here, folks, that go way back. And I can tell you that there has been some things that come down the line that has just pulled the rug out from under us. And some of us are still here. You know why? Because you give the Lord the opportunity to mend it. Kids, when they get a little bump, a little a mosquito bite, the first thing they do is start crying. You learn how to take a hit, a fall, a shot for the Lord's sake when you let the Lord into your life and you look beyond the glass and realize He's in there. It's about Him. Not my own safety. Not my own well-being. It's about Him. Go beyond the glass. Look beyond the glass and see the Lord. And so consequently, people have allowed the Lord to work in the given situations that they've been in, the troubling time, and gave God the time to heal, mend, and give you understanding. And folks, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. It teaches you. It teaches you how to handle adversity. It teaches you how to handle hurt. Hurt pride. Yeah, we all got pride. Come on now. It teaches you how to handle hurt feelings. We all get our feelings hurt. And we give ourselves time in the church rather than running off and crying in the corner to let the Lord heal and mend, giving Him the time to work in our lives. Folks, there'd be nothing that'll mature you more than getting yourself hurt, getting yourself knocked down, and picking yourself up again and say, I'm going to strive together for the faith of the gospel because I'm looking beyond the glass. I'm seeing who's beyond the glass. Picking yourself and going on. Picking yourself up and going on. See, folks, the same thing in a spiritual sense happened to the Galatians. Paul went to the Galatians and he preached in that region of Galatia. Brought the blessed gospel to those people who were in bondage under the law. And they trusted in Christ and had this wonderful, marvelous liberty that we enjoy right here, right now in Christ. You're going to have some folks here from Kentucky. We got folks coming in from Kentucky that were in Gunnersville. They got the opportunity to see the grace of God through Barry Hampton's ministry. They were Mennonites, and buddy, they were under the yoke of bondage in that religion. And Barry brought the gospel to them and they saw the truth. And folks, they came to Gunnersville. I don't think their feet ever touched the ground. I'll be honest with you. They're still, I talked to them. I don't even know the guy. He called me and we probably talked 30 minutes at least. They're excited. They can't wait to get here. We're going to have about six of them here. I don't know the exact count. Some booked their own room, so. Those people are excited about the liberty they have. The people coming are excited. I'm telling you. Guys, I don't know if you're ready for next week. We're going to need some folks here that are ready for it because it's coming, man. These people are excited and looking forward to it. Those in Galatia were excited about the liberty. But someone came in right after Paul leaves and says, oh, you can't believe that once saved, always saved. So you can't believe it's by grace and no works. Your mom and daddy raised you better than that. They raised you under the Jewish law. So Paul says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from Him that called you in the grace of God unto another gospel. Paul didn't get his feet out the region before they had turned from the gospel of Christ and went unto another. And he said, there are those there that constrain you to be circumcised. Let's see what he says about all that. Turn to Galatians. Look in chapter 6, and we'll close out with this. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. You see how large a letter I've written unto you with my own hand? As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. And you can put in there, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, whatever you want to put in there. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. That's what they want to avoid. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, you hypocrites, but desire you to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world's crucified unto me and I unto the world. Watch this. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature creation. You see, this creature is created in perfection. There's nothing to be added to someone who has trusted in Jesus Christ. When you trust in Jesus Christ, you're absolutely perfect in Him, and that will never change. The only thing we're waiting to change are these vile bodies, that it'll be caught up and fashioned like unto His glorious body, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. You see, Scott, you got a new leg waiting for you. It's going to be glorious, too. Two legs. You get both of them. Both glorious. These vile bodies are going to be changed, but until then, folks, we got work to do. So what can I say here? Grow up out of the baby state. Put on your big undergarments. I could let it loose there, but no. You hear what that preacher in Baton Rouge is saying? You'll probably hear enough next week. And grow up and take on the responsibility that God expects and requires you to carry out. Folks, I don't want to get on any political stage here, but yes, we can. All right, let's... Hey. I'm still there. 1776 up here. All right, let's stand.